and welcome to another jam-packed edition of The Municipals.
Rising taxes are probably a reality.
I'm a big advocate of change. Not change for change's sake. Change when something isn't working.
I'm sure the NDP wishes that they had a less embarrassing federal partner to work with right now.
Don't vote, can't bitch.
The moment we go to an election is the end of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
And welcome to another edition of The Municipals. I'm Matthew.
Hola, soy Philip. I've changed languages on you for just the first three words. That's pretty much as far as my Spanish has gone. No, it's still me. It's not a new enterprise. Someone named Felipe. I just wanted to be funny.
Well, Philip, we are less than 24 hours removed. I'm sure you don't know what I'm talking about, but the Maple Leafs have been eliminated. Did you watch it?
No, I mean, sorry to just immediately jump to the no, I didn't watch it. There's one sport that I've bandwagon fandom for, and that's the Toronto Raptors. But Matthew, I do have a question for you. Was that game seven?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You know what? That's actually very funny. There's a person who lives in the building that I work at, and I'd sort of brought up. You can tell how not paying attention I am, and also the fact that I lose track of time very easily, because clearly this must have been the week before last, because I talked about how devastating it would be for, you know, Toronto to make it to the last game, game seven. And, you know, again, how psychologically damaging it would be at that point for them to lose. And wow, I didn't even realize, but that's what happened.
We had a work function at Kelsey's, and we watched it there, and it went into overtime. The place closes at 11, but we're still there. And I disappointed myself because I didn't realize they serve it on a pan now. Funny story. I used to work for Kelsey's. I don't anymore. Thank God. But it's like a large cookie sheet pan, and that's what they bring the nachos out on. And for the first time in my life, I couldn't finish nachos.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Anyway. Like
that's a great story. And also, I think, can I act as the anti-Toronto Maple Leafs foil simply as someone who doesn't pay attention to the sport?
Sure.
Fuck yeah. The most Toronto way possible to go out. You're so close to greatness. You give people the hope. And then drop the ball. How much more Toronto can you get than that?
Question for you. Where were you working? Were you working downtown during the shortened season? I know you don't know the year, but I believe it was 2014, if I'm not. I think I'm correct. It was 2013, 2014 was the shortened season year. I'm just curious because that's when they made the playoffs. They made the playoffs that year, right? Against the Bruins. And that was the year that if you were a Bruins fan and you wore a Bruins jersey in downtown Toronto, you're in serious jeopardy of getting fucked up.
So that year I either would have been working on condo construction sites, or it would have been me working at, I think it was City Place? No. It was a set of buildings that I worked Firewatch for. But the only reason I bring that up is because there was an in-house security team, and we were like auxiliary just to do Firewatch, and just for literally years. I really don't understand what that contract was. That's not what we're talking about, but I just thought it would be fun to bring up. But you know, so these were your guys, you know, they're like between their patrols and their like dealings with residents, they'd just be like chilling in the office. They had the two huge monitors up that most of the time were supposed to be showing like cameras. But I do remember they'd use the left one for, let's call it, fun stuff if they wanted. And I feel like that was poorly phrased. Anyways,
it's subjective.
And so I happened to be, again, as people probably get the notion of me not being a sports guy, I happened to watch live the very famous Jose Batista bat flip moment.
That was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was. I mean, no one can deny that. That's very cool. We love it.
Well, before we get on today, we do have one other thing I want to talk about. It is political, but it's a I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's just basically what side do you fall on? You know what I'm talking about. Your boy, Pierre Poilievre, gets ejected from Parliament. I'm curious, what side do you fall on, Philip? Mr. Lefty Conservative Disliker?
You know, that's all fair. In fact, that'll segue very nicely into a bit that I momentarily want to talk about. But he's playing a game. He knew what game he was playing. He did it, in my mind, he did it all on purpose to get kicked out of the house. And you know what the most frustrating thing of the whole situation is? The word he picked, the word they picked to capitalize on this whole situation. Wacko. Shut up. Like the biggest losers on the internet, the whole federal conservative caucus, all on Twitter, going over and over. Oh, they were so offended that we called Trudeau's policies wacko. You know what's not wacko? Maybe you guys shutting the fuck up. Like,
Well,
I hate it so much. I hate it so much.
I would argue that Toronto politics, every level right now, is wacko.
I mean, listen, I fundamentally don't disagree with you, but I just hate that the worst people on the planet are out just going, oh, we love the word wacko. You got the stupid House of Commons staffer dude who like just monopolizes on the fact that people hate the federal government, making merch about wacko. Like, shut up, just shut up. Who cares? Shut up. Fucking wacko. Like, again. You know, I mentioned last time about, you know, the shenanigans going on in the Saskatchewan Parliament, and a part of that was having the, I don't know, I don't think that was the education minister, but someone was ejected because we refused to apologize. And I mean, like, that's the rules of the House. You know, there's unparliamentary language, which is, I mean, listen. Real talk, I think that's stupid and old-fashioned, the whole concept of unparliamentary language. But at the same time, we do sort of expect the our MPs to act like adults. Is that so fucking hard? I mean, the answer evidently is yes. Like clearly it is too hard. And of course, even the purpose of question period now at the federal level, it all feels like it's just, and not, this isn't exclusive to the conservatives, of course, but it feels like its only purpose now is for individual party members to get soundbite clips to post on social media as like these boxed owns.
Philip,
And
it's fucking theater.
I know, but listen, in my naive optimism view of government, that their inherent interest is in improving the lives of their constituents. Call me naive, call me a child, but like, don't you wish?
One other thing, I know you had something, but one other thing, I just saw it today. I think it came out today. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if you saw it, but Jagmeet Singh's 48-hour warning to Pierre Poilievre.
48-hour warning.
Yeah. God damn, you would think I would write it down, but
No, is it on Twitter? Because I'll just quickly.
it's on Twitter if you go to Jagmeet Singh. You know, he's your boy. You probably have him bookmarked, right?
Oh, I am following him. I was gonna say, oh, believe it or not, I'm not following. Yes, I am. Never mind. I'm a liar. I think it's because on my video game Twitter account, I'm following Justin Trudeau, but on my political one, I'm not.
I'm not following him. I
You don't
refuse.
need
I
to.
refuse to.
There's, well, actually, you know what? That's a, okay, now I'll bring up two things. So, but you know, both relatively on the smaller end.
It's a
I don't
video
see any.
clip. It's a video clip where he says, Oh, I wish I would have saved it.
Oh, I see it. I see it. I'm
Yeah,
giving
there we
Pierre
go.
Poilievre 48 hours to stop blocking the rights of women. If he doesn't, the NDP will force through legislation on free birth control. Why wouldn't you? Why do you need Pierre Poilievre to do that? Why don't you just
Correct
do
me if I'm
that?
wrong. What does okay? So let's go with this theory for a second. Let's talk about this. So
Okay.
Jagmeet goes to Justin, right, and goes, "Hey, listen to me. You're the prime minister. We're going to push through this." And what if Justin says, "No, I don't want to do that."
It really sucks because it truly does play to the fact that, when Jagmeet Singh does the post criticizing Justin Trudeau as the prime minister, again, as he rightfully should. But then, of course, you do these other things. It's like, actually, remember, we're in agreement with this government that we're criticizing. It's like, I understand that you should do that. But at the same time, the optics are so stupid. Okay.
So, before I let you take it away, I have one question. This whole thing, it's juicy. I love it. It's theater. Let's imagine for a minute that they're in a debate. Who do you think is going to take more shots at Trudeau? Is it going to be Poilievre or is it going to be Jagmeet Singh?
That's a great question.
Or and who's going to take the most shots at Jagmeet Singh? Is it going to be Trudeau? Or is it going to be Poilievre?
Matthew, the answer is going to be I don't listen. Actually, I think it's going to be Poilievre, but it's going to be to a minimum because neither of them truly believe that Jagmeet Singh can become prime minister. So, I mean, they're not going to spend their time attacking him.
That's a great point. And then you'll have your Bloc Québécois going, I don't want to be the prime minister. I'm just
Yeah,
here.
this is you guys are fundamentally misunderstanding the point of our party. It's like, thank you, Monsieur Blanchet. I love you. You're so funny. He had, oh, actually, speaking of that ejection, the funniest thing was him saying to the speaker, thank you for your common sense today. He's a fucking funny guy.
Right, you had something?
All right. So it's actually a great continuation on, from your point as we continue a bit on our Federer Pals hat. In fact, here's the silliest way I can start this segment. Jagmeet Singh, in my opinion, and I've said it a lot, I don't think he's a great leader of the NDP. I think the NDP, the federal NDP right now, is a bit embarrassing, to be honest. Now, the current party in charge is our federal Liberals, who have been in power for 9 years. And, as we are in a current, I want to say, crisis in our standard of living, I could argue that there's a million things contributing to that that have nothing to do with the prime minister. Irrelevant, completely irrelevant to the actual stand, the feeling of the standards of living going down. It doesn't matter what the things are. This is just the place we are in time, okay? And then there's Pierre Poilievre, who on a by himself, I'm not crazy about his rhetoric. I'm not crazy about the way he acts. I'm disappointed that he wants to have the or pretends to have the solutions to the problems facing our country while he refuses to say criticize conservative premiers on, for example, housing. There's only one premier he's gone after, housing, and that's David Eby of BC, the only premier who's doing anything on housing. And that's the only one he's going after. If I want to believe that this federal conservative party actually gives a shit about solving our problems, they need to be talking against the premiers, including the ones who are ideologically on their side. So, like, the fact that we can see how, in my opinion, we can see how conservative premiers act on the provincial level. And so I take that distrust to the federal conservatives as well, which might not be entirely fair, but I mean, that's just where I am. So my question to you, Matthew, of, after I've strung along this series of criticisms for each of the parties is, In 2025, when we go to the polls, so fundamentally, I would classify and believe myself to be an NDP person. Again, at this moment, I feel like the federal NDP are really dropping the ball on their commitments to working class issues, just kind of being a viable alternative. The Liberals have just dropped the ball over and over again, and I don't believe deserve another mandate. And I simply don't trust the Conservative Party to do what is right. Who the fuck do I vote for?
I'm glad you asked. So,
That's sort of where I've been sitting for the last little bit when it comes to the next federal election. It feels, sorry, I you say what you want to say.
here's the thing. When you go to vote, like, okay, I was honest. In 2022, I voted for Doug Ford. So I feel like all the shit that I don't like him for now. I feel like what's the word I'm looking for? I condoned it because I voted for him.
I
I
do
condoned it.
listen. I disagree with that assessment. I think you can, well, maybe I shouldn't, but there's a part of me that feels like you can see something to be a certain way. You know what? Actually, I don't think Doug Ford's party promised that they were going to dismantle public health care. You know, I certainly vocalized the fear on my, personal basis, but
No,
a
they
lot of
never
people.
tell you. They never tell you what they're really going to
Well,
do.
and Matthew, that's what I'm saying. It's you can't take personal responsibility for them doing something that they never claimed they were going to do, which is my way of saying, Matthew, don't feel so bad about voting for Doug
Anyway, so
Ford.
I don't. I can't tell you what to do. But this is what I'm going to do. My big thing, as I've said since I turned on Doug Ford, is the biggest problem is the parties, because the parties are financed by donors, and then the donors want to control the party, and the parties have all these rules and all the blah blah blah. You have to vote this way, you have to vote that way. Well, there's a way around that, and you find an independent that ideologically aligns with you, and you vote for them. Now, here's the situation, because here there's a however. If I feel like leading up to the election that Justin Trudeau could potentially rebound, or hell's frozen over and people are going to put the NDP in power,
Oh, man, I really hope some
I
hardcore
say that
NDPers
because
are
of
listening
Jag
to this.
I say
I
that
agree with
because of
you.
Jagmeet Singh. I like the NDP party. There's a lot of their policies I don't like. I really don't like Jagmeet Singh. I would respect him a lot more if he had said before the election, "Hey, by the way, voters, if we don't form the next government, we're going to team with the Liberals to be part of the government in a coalition style." And the NDP would have been voted out completely. They'd be like the PPC, no seats.
That'd be like the PPC, no class. It doesn't need to mean anything.
So anyway, as I was saying, if I'm pushed to it because I do not want another 4 years of Trudeau, and I certainly don't want 4 years of Jagmeet Singh, if I'm forced into it, if I'm pushed into it, I will vote for Pierre Poilievre. I don't want to. But if I have to choose between three, only three, Poilievre. Because we've seen Trudeau, we've seen what, or actually, we've seen what he can't do. That's actually more appropriate. And we don't
I
want
think
to
that's
see
fair.
you.
I think that's a very fair assessment. I
And
think I'd
again,
be more on board with people if they framed their opposition to Trudeau as seeing what he's failed to accomplish.
but we've covered this before.
Yeah.
Remember,
No, I know.
governments do not get voted in. They get voted out. This
Oh,
will
true.
be an anti-Trudeau vote.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with that.
So I don't know if I helped you just there, but if there's an independent that
Well,
you can live with.
I mean, so I think about this, right? And so I'm gonna bring up another thing that I'm gonna make it related, but it sounds like it's unrelated. You know, from my perspective, in federal politics, none of the parties, including the conservatives, do a lot of campaigning in provinces like Alberta and Saskatchewan. And the reason for that is because their votes are assumed. Their votes are assumed conservative. And that's not me picking on the conservatives. There are wards and districts. We just call them wards, right? No, what do they call, what do we call them at the federal level? Are they still just wards?
Writings.
Ridings. Sorry, I'm screwing it up. Okay. And there are ridings all over the country that vote less on the prime minister themselves, and less on the individual members there, but on the party. Now, so I bring that thing up about Alberta to say that they don't get a lot of attention from them, from the federal government, because again, their votes are assumed. In the same way, I feel like Scarborough Southwest is in a bit of an assumed liberal riding, because I've got to tell you, I have not felt all that much of a presence from our federal MP. And I've got to tell you, for a person who has his position, his cabinet position, you would think that we might get a little bit more attention to us.
Well, let me ask you something. If you can remember back to 2021 or even the provincial one in 2022, I assume the ridings are both liberal.
No,
Correct?
provincially it's NDP.
Okay.
We've had
So,
Dolly Begum the last two elections, right?
Dolly Begum, she's amazing. See,
She's great.
if she was the leader, we'd be having a different conversation.
I really would have pushed for her to run for party leader. Like I'm very disappointed. Like during the whole Sarah Jama situation, I know she was supporting Merritt more than Sarah, and I disagree with that. But like otherwise, I do think Dolly is a superstar of the Ontario NDP.
Absolutely. Okay, so I just lost where I was going. Oh, okay. So if you remember during the election, because you take the bus, you've said that, and you walk a lot, and your kids probably run you rampant to the parks and back. Do you remember which party sign did you ever see the most in your riding? Was it liberal? Was it conservative? Or was it NDP?
Man, have I only started paying attention to it since I ran? I feel like that might be the case. I remember, and again, part of I think I've said this before, but part of my inspiration running for Toronto City Council in 2022 was the PCs getting a larger majority in the election. That was a big part of my reason for running. So I was paying attention. I remember seeing the signs for the Ontario Conservative candidate, and I remember it made me so mad because it was, I remember his name was Brett Schneider, and he put up these signs that basically said, oh, those vehicle license refunds, thanks Doug Ford, that's from him, hey, thanks for that. And of course, I don't know if you recall what my position was, which was well, we need well a we need taxes to pay for shit. B, $100 individually per year is not that huge of an expense. And C, I don't have a car in the first place. Where's my bribe, Doug Ford? Where is it? I didn't get a bribe. I want it. Give it to me, please. Brett Schneider, don't give thanks for something I didn't get. So that's my weird. But those didn't even look like proper campaign signs. Like they weren't just like square blue with a picture of the candidate. They were like yellow. They kind of looked like they're supposed to be warning signs. I don't mean that like insultingly. I like when people have them on the grass, and like general information signs. Like it didn't look like campaign signs. Like it was yellow. It didn't have a picture of the guy. It was very weird.
See, I'll say for my ward, the most signs I think I saw, I can't decide it. It was either Liberal or NDP because provincially, this is Doug Ford's riding, so it's assumed, right? Like you said, it's an assumed conservative riding.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, sorry, just as sort of a cap off, unless I lose where I was thinking, but oh no, I got it. Okay, I'm back. The point, my concern of like assumed districts. God, nope. Assumed ridings, my bad. Guys, I promise I am not so obsessed with American politics that I get the terms mixed up. I promise.
Are you high?
I'm over it. No. Rude. No, not rude. I'm sorry. It's a fair assumption, but
I was high once, if you remember.
Listen, I know.
That was a train wreck of an episode.
No judging. No judgment. I'm here for you, bud. It's all good. In our ward right now, I've kind of jokingly not been saying his name. Because I sort of feel like he's an embarrassing dude to have represent us. And it's Toronto's former chief of police, Bill Blair. And Justin Trudeau keeps putting this man in cabinet positions, and I feel like that's what's carrying him electorally. I don't understand.
And creating cabinet positions for him.
Like, why? Why?
I don't know.
And the fact, I kind of hate the concept of, like, I understand what polling is. It's not telling you what's going to happen, but it's like, it's predicting, and it's not, but God, it's so disappointing for me to see a thing that's like, even in what we can assume is a, you and I don't think this is a controversial to say, 2025, that's a change election, right? That's what, we are pretty clear that it's going to be a change election.
Absolutely.
And again, not that as I said, I don't want the Conservatives to win, despite the fact that it's more like I'm driving a car towards a collapsed bridge and my foot is on the brake and I'm like, I don't know. Oh no, we've got a visual portion of this podcast now, don't we, on YouTube? It's great. It's fun. It's just, what do we get by voting in the same person who does nothing for us? In fact, the person who's trying to get the Conservative nomination in Toronto Centre, who's actually the current president of the Riding Association, so you'd have to drop out of that if he wants to actually be the candidate. But if he's my buddy, Joe Cadeau, I like him. He's a good conservative in my mind, which is a weird thing to say. Oh God, I circled myself so long there that it's like, okay, right. His pitch to when they go door knocking in Toronto Centre, which I think is famously, right now it's Liberal, it's Marcy Yen. And I think it is historically a Liberal riding. That's my understanding. And what his pitch is to people who, when they answer the doors and they kind of identify themselves as Liberal or NDP kind of oriented, his pitch to them is sort of, are you happy with what the government is doing right now? And what do you lose by giving another party a shot? And I think that's a very valid approach. Again, I fundamentally disagree. I don't trust the Conservatives for anything, but I think his approach is correct. If you feel so disenfranchised by the current government, why give your confidence to them?
Did I tell you that? I think I've told you this story before. It was during the 2022 election. I wasn't home because I was working. And conservative supporters were canvassing my neighborhood, led by Mrs. Ford.
Like Renata?
No. I'm talking about Doug's wife.
That's Rob's wife, right?
Yes.
My bad.
And the kid's mom was out there and her uncle. And I think I wasn't there, so I bits and pieces, but apparently they were asked, you know, who are you thinking of voting for? And my you know, her uncle, he's very He's very short with his words, and he's like, I'm not voting for that fucking crook Doug Ford, anybody but him. Not, no, I don't think he knew that that
that
was
was his wife.
Yeah.
Well, and admittedly, I don't think I know what that, you know what? I'm gonna look it up because I don't think I wouldn't recognize her if Doug Ford's wife. Kyla Ford? I thought that was his daughter.
It is. I think her name's Kathy. Kathy Ford is, which is crazy because I think that's the name of his sister as well.
Oh my God.
Or Carla. Chris, Carla.
Listen, I'm sorry. Krista, Kara, Kayla, and Kyla. No. And stop it.
No, seriously.
So, yeah, Kyla. You know what? She reminds me of someone, but I couldn't point out who it is, and nobody's telling me it's Carla Ford. She reminds you of Carla Ford. No, I have no idea who that is. Well, I mean, I do now, but that's irrelevant.
So to wrap this up, did you have anything final that you wanted to before we take off our Federal Pals hat or prevent?
No,
I don't know where the fuck we are right now. Provincial it, Pals.
No. We're still at the Federal Pals. I was actually you know, as we've got our countdown kind of coming up, I was thinking to myself, I was like, isn't it cool that we got a whole segment in on the Federal Pals? It feels like it was planned, except it wasn't.
Oh, we do not rehearse.
We might want to if we ever do live shows, and I think that would be fun.
That'd be awesome.
Just tossing that out there, just throwing it out there, just gently. Talking.
So for our next segment, I wanted to tell people we are finally going to go through the Sunshine List. I have it in front of me. When we come back from the break, we'll get into it. But a couple of things I want to throw out. You know, when we did the first 20, when it first came out and I was looking at it, they were all together for the city of Toronto. Now they've kind of separated it. I can't get one that's everybody that works for the city of Toronto together. I've got the city of Toronto and I've got the police. Thank God there's two phones. I don't know why they separated them. It's like, we're getting all this shit from the police. Let's separate them.
Yeah. We don't want the association with them on our Sunshine List.
And yeah. This is ridiculous. The number of, so for the police, there are, hold on, let me go down to the bottom of the page. 5,587 names on that Sunshine List. Again, how many police do we have? Did we settle on 7,100, 7,600? But there's 51 street cops, right? 5,100 street cops. Well, this is 5,587. So does that mean every street cop plus some higher ups are over 100 grand? Because that's what that means to me. And on the city page, it's 9,252. I'm telling you, like, this is, I can't wait to get into it when we come back from break. This is ridiculous. And for our main event tonight, we're going to delve into the subject of the decriminalization of hard drugs. We're going to talk about BC, because I know that you've been wanting to do that for a while. And we're going to talk about Toronto and the coup that's trying to be pulled right in front of our eyes. How does that sound?
I'm looking forward to it.
But yeah, these names, like, a couple, we'll do a couple before we go to break. Did you know that the city of Toronto employs someone named Mary Magadan Lee for $303,000, $180,000.05? Do you know what her job is, Philip?
What is her job?
She's the chief people officer.
Chief people officer.
What the fuck is a chief people officer? Apologize for my voice. I'm a little under the weather, but what the fuck is a chief people officer?
I couldn't tell you.
Perhaps we could do a Google search and we'll come back after the break and we'll let people know what that is, okay?
Chief People Officer. You know, it might be a real thing. We might just be losing our minds for something
I
that's
have
real.
never heard of a chief people officer. And we're back. And before we get started on this sunshine list, something police related actually just came to mind, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. The wrong way chase in Pickering that resulted in those deaths. I've heard it's no one official, no one official, just other people I talk to. They think that it's possible the Toronto police could get sued for that, based on, again, it keeps coming back to this. I apologize. You don't drive. If you've ever been in an accident, like I have a friend who was clipped and the person kept going and they followed the person, and the person who did the accident, who's in the lead, is driving erratically and fast and taking because they're trying to get away. And the police advice, because he was on the phone with the police, and the police told him they're driving like that because they're trying to get away from you. You already have their license plate. We've got them. We know where they live. You don't need to chase them. Stop, because someone's going to get hurt. The police went against their own supposed advice. What do you think the chances are they're going to get sued on this? I know
My
we're not experts, but
no, I was gonna say my cynicism when it comes to police and accountability is below the ground. Like it's beyond zero. So I don't think there's gonna be any fault given in this case, to be honest. I feel like it's gonna be, you know, when you still have kind of half the commentary going on about the fact that, oh, well, this is what happens when we allow it. The fact that I've heard two separate kind of ideas about either this is bad because of immigration or bad because of bail policies. And but from those kind of commentators, they'd never blame the police for a goddamn thing. So, you know, I kind of want to ignore all that.
Actually, I was going to just throw it in there that the bail stuff that's going on is actually the only thing that isn't the police's fault.
Right. No, yeah, no, I know. And it's just in conjunction, it's like people going, well, they're trying to find a root cause, kind of one thing to blame for the deaths of these families. And why can't we be nuanced? Why can't we say it was a multifaceted level of failure? But I mean, the fact that there are people who will ignore, it's like, oh, well, if the guy didn't drive away, the police wouldn't have needed to chase. But as you did, you mention, did I just say it thinking in my head about the fact that they were told to not pursue? They were
Correct.
told to stop.
My friend was told, yeah, not don't
And
pursue.
I've heard that from many people as well. It's stop. Don't drive down. Like, if they have the information, they're done. They're busted. Like, they don't need to be caught that second. Like, even if it was like, and people sort of talked about the monetary value of what was robbed from the LCBO. A, for a police chase that ended up in deaths of people, obviously it's an embarrassing low amount of money to have done that for. But I mean, God, it truly is just a tragedy, you know? Like, it sucks. It fucking
Absolutely.
sucks.
And getting with that, let's get on to this sunshine list. So the only two that were on the top 20, or is it top 10? I think it was top 10 sunshine list that we covered was our man Chung Wong, sergeant for the Toronto Police, which basically means he's a street cop. And of course the chief of police, even though Chung Wong made more. He actually made 25,000 more than the police chief.
Which is, that's just crazy. That doesn't make sense.
Oh, it gets worse. Okay, so the next three, sorry, the next four, five, six, seven, the next seven, one, two, three, four of them are sergeants, two are police constables, one is a detective. And the highest, like the one after the police chief, is 327,562.03. All the way down to the detective, 298,572.91. Then you have the old chief of police. He's on there. How for 2023, because this is for 2023,
That a pension?
was he half a year? He made $297,256.76. Is that ridiculous? Even if it was for half a year, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's bad.
Okay, and then you have the deputy chief. So you have all these regular cops earning more than the deputy chief. She clocked in at $283,948.76. Then you have a police constable, you have chief administrative officer, another police constable, a detective, a sergeant. What the fuck is a chief information officer? I'm serious.
Did we listen? To answer the question that we had before we went on a break, the chief people officer, that really does just sound like fancy word for head of HR.
Why can't they just say that?
Because it doesn't sound as illustrious.
Human resources is now a dirty word?
I mean, listen, when you say it like that, kind of.
Welcome to human resources.
Yeah, that sounds like hell, Matthew. Like, listen to yourself. Listen to yourself.
And number 20 is it's the first of his rank. It's plainclothes police constable. I didn't realize we had these.
Wait. I thought plain clothes was just like a type of duty, like, when they're
Like a
investigating something.
detective.
Yeah. I didn't.
No, they have plainclothes police constables as well.
Oh.
So that's on page one. If I go all the way down to page 10,
Ooh.
I'm still at
Holy shit.
$197,774.04. Police constable, plainclothes, director of finance and business management. Even the fucking superintendent. Like,
Gotta say, it sounds like a recipe for getting paid to do nothing. This isn't my normal anti-police stance. This is my, imagine you become a police officer and you somehow get to this role of plain clothes. That sounds like you're just walking through the city, just chilling, just vibing. You don't have to do nothing.
and people wonder why the police are not accountable to anybody. We want this much. Sorry, you can't have it. Well, we'll make you look like shit in the media, which is exactly what they did. It's in their playbook. You called
Yeah,
it, and you're calling it for 2025.
I am.
This is ridiculous. I'm on page 22 now. Here we go to page 20. I'm trying to go all the way to the bottom to see what the bottom number is. Here's the waste of money. People are wondering where their fucking tax dollars are going to. Here's the waste of money. I'm telling you, if we cut out the overtime, all these people are not going to make over $100,000. They're going to make 80 grand, 85 maybe, which is fine for a police officer.
I think
Oh
that
yeah, oh
sounds like a
yeah.
lot of money.
Did you hear this horse shit now? So there's a I was looking up the Sunshine List and it's saying that there's people on the Sunshine List. Oh, they can't afford to buy houses. So
Yeah, and
What about the rest
neither
of
neither
us?
yeah, neither can the people who aren't on the Sunshine List. Like, I think my dad had kind of started talking a bit about the capital gains. We were in the car going shopping, and I'm just like, Dad, I can't feel sorry for people who are gonna have to pay a little bit more tax on the capital gains of their second property. Like, I can't give a shit about that.
In my opinion, if you make $200,000 a year and you can't afford to buy a house, something's wrong with you. Okay, we're at page 50. We still have plainclothes officers.
Oh my God. Wait, we're on page 50?
Oh, I keep going. I keep.
Because we jump from one and then you jump to 10, right?
Yeah, but now, so I keep going to the bottom page that it allows me to go to.
Jesus Christ.
I'm on page 58. Here we go to 62.
Ooh, while this content is also going up on YouTube, I think I'll make a formal request that Coca-Cola endorses our podcast because we're pretty consistent on our Coke bit.
What about Pepsi?
No, what makes me laugh is I think about the fact that I'll often be drinking Dr. Pepper, and I think you'll be drinking like the
Coke,
larger
yeah.
bottles of Coke. Yeah. The fuck just happened? We switched. Not important. Sorry about that,
This was
everyone.
on sale.
I'm just talking. This is funny. We should opt for both. Play both sides so that we're always on top. Thank you, Mac,
Absolutely.
for that nugget of knowledge. We play both sides so we always end up on top.
I'm on page 78,
Holy God damn. So
and
many people.
we're at $149,129.
Oh my God. We've still got
There's 20, and
$50,000 to go.
there's 20 employees per page.
God damn.
I know, right? Here we go to page 86. Page 90. Holy shit. Just take me to the end.
I can't believe there isn't a button that just
Okay,
drop
so
all
I'm
the
at
way to
the
the
end
bottom.
now. Page 280. They just made the fucking Sunshine List.
Like,
Person named Callie Pengali, swear to God. The communications operator, $100,030.12.
okay. See, we're getting to the point where I'm just like, all right, I guess, listen, that's fine. I can't
And we
object too
have.
much. But it is like 280 pages, 20 per page. It's a lot of people. Don't make me do the math. I mean, I guess that's like 4,000
And
people.
I just want to talk about
Wait, is that not
the
a lot of
next
people?
two up. So above the last place person, there's two other people. One is Alicia Wolf, a police constable, $100,063.81, and Isaiah Sampson, again a police constable, $100,035.59.
Here's my non-political terrible take on that one. That's a very cool name.
And they wonder where the money is wasted right there.
It always gets me the fact that, again, this isn't new for me. People have heard me banging this drum for a long time, including when we talked to Anthony Fieri when he was on the show. I'll never understand the people who are very pro, we have to find the waste in government, and those people completely ignoring the police. It's just, there's no, it feels like there's nothing the police can do that would ever make them question their loyalty to their budget, which feels practically infinite.
Absolutely. Again, the budget has increased. What every maybe the pandemic, I don't know if it increased, but every year other than the pandemic, yes.
The fact that they've blown past $1 billion is frankly ludicrous.
It's irresponsible.
Actually, absolutely.
So now let's get to the regular City of Toronto Sunshine list. Now that we had our fun with the
Wait,
police.
that was
Yes.
just police.
That was just the police.
Oh my God. Okay. You know, I don't know if the microphone probably didn't pick it up when I kind of got to that number and I was like, is that a lot of people? Because it's, I think that would be about 4,000 people. That is more than half of the people employed by the Toronto Police.
No, the total number is 5,587.
Of people on the Sunshine List or employed by the police?
No, of people that are employed by the police that are on the Sunshine List.
Oh, it's 5,000.
5,587. And what did was it Beth?
No, I think it was Diana Chan
Diana Chan
McNally.
McNally. She told you. I
I
said
think it was something like 8,000.
No, I said so on not that I trust the source, because fuck, I mean I don't, but Wikipedia says that there's, I think it's either 71 or 76 is the employment. And I believe you told me that Diane Chan said officers on the street is 5,100.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
So 5,587. That covers all the officers on the street, plus some of the higher ups.
Yeah, some of the bureaucratic elements of the police.
Right. Okay, and now we go to the regular Sunshine List for the City of Toronto. Davila, we'll get to you later. Okay, so after the chief people officer, right? And
Right.
here's a question, seriously. How many deputy city managers do we need? How many associate medical officer of health do we need? Especially when we also have deputy medical officers of health. How many do we need? Isn't it
Does
overkill?
it feel like I want to say that it's hard as a layman to criticize it because I don't necessarily know what these people are doing, but from the perspective of, wait, sorry, is a layman someone who is part of the industry? I'm not a layman, the opposite of a layman. I'm an idiot man. As a off the street idiot person, I don't know what all these individual people's, wow, I'm really coming off as a straight up moron here. But like, it sounds like it's just, you know, assistant to the deputy, to the chief, you know, like it feels like it's creating jobs for the sake of creating jobs, not for me to jump and continue to throw out my partisan
Philip.
anger at the Ontario Conservative government, but it's in the same way that they assign the all these MPs to be like parliamentary assistants to give them a raise. It just feels like it's job titles to give people money.
I just did a quick count. There are one, two deputy medical officers of health. There are nine associate medical officers of health.
That's
Nine. And then
and
there's
I was just
Miss
like to
Davila
ask, what is
sitting,
the
and then
purpose?
there's Miss Davila sitting on her throne as well. We'll
That's
get to her.
definitely the commentary of someone who is completely neutral. Listen, that's not a judgment. That's a joke, but it's not a judgment. You can feel how you feel. I just thought it's funny.
And I feel like I should know the answer to this question, but I don't, so I'll ask you. I've got a Mr. Andrew Flynn, $289,703.90. He's the controller. That's his job title. What the fuck does he do? What is a controller? He controls the world? No, probably not.
God, why couldn't he be like, you know, the Thomas and Friends comptroller?
All right.
God
Let me
damn,
see
Sir
here.
Topham Hatt slash the what's he called in England? Is he the fat conductor?
I don't know.
He's got a they changed it to Sir Topham Hatt in America to not be so, you know, like the anti-fat people. I don't know. It's ridiculous. I don't know. What do they call them? Sorry, I'm gonna Google that, Sir Topham Hatt.
How do you have two
What is
directors of legal services?
Sorry, yeah, his
three
name
directors,
is...
four directors.
His nickname is the Fat Controller. I'm
Do you
sorry,
guys
I was
get
focused on that.
Do you guys get sued a lot?
I mean, let's be honest. They probably do.
Holy shit. Wait. No, there's five. Five directors of legal services. Holy fuck. All right. Let's do the same thing. But this will take less time. So on the Sunshine List for the City of Toronto, there are 9,252 employees. The bottom one, the one making the least, she just crossed the line. She's a nurse manager. Her name's Mary Louise Manuel. $100,001.61.
You know what? I bet she's pissed to be on the list. Like, she's like, I am just here, and you're going to demonize me like I'm Eileen Davila? That's just for you. I hope you appreciate that.
Oh, here's one. Zia Dong Wang. Is he related to your guy, Mr. Gong? I caught you.
No.
Don't choke on my behalf.
No, it's all good.
$104.22.
Like, I understand that, like, again, the people who are, like, just kind of reaching over, I imagine they're, like, they've got to be the ones who are writing the op-eds, like, the Sunshine List is kind of outdated, you guys. It's actually not that much money anymore.
Oh, my God. The city is really messed up. We need someone to come in there and fix the problems. And, you know, last week I made an impassioned plea, maybe not a plea. I made an impassioned argument that maybe perhaps, even though she's only been on the job a year, maybe just under a year, that Olivia Chow is not the one. And, you know, I stand by what I said. I don't think she's the one. Now, let's put that to the side for a minute. There's a couple of housekeeping things I want to tackle before we get to our main event of the evening. Your boy, your guy, Kevin Rupesing.
Oh, my guy.
He put up a thing on Instagram. I'm not sure if you're there. Talking
you're
about.
Is he more active on Instagram? Because he's not very active on Twitter.
No, I think so. It's Instagram. I'll just read you what he wrote. He said, "Let's expand car share citywide, so we can have a healthier and more affordable city with less congestion and more people living car light. Add your name, www.kevrup.ca/carshare.
I really like Kevin's, how he shortened his name for like websites, because it does make it easy to look it up. Kevrep. Is it kevrep.ca or
yep.
.com?
Yep. I didn't.
Yeah,
I...
He makes it so easy.
He goes on to say, I asked City Council to support expanding car share like common auto citywide, so residents in Scarborough, North York, and Etobicoke can fairly access car share. Car share can help people save more money for essentials like housing and groceries. Outdated parking rules are unfairly limiting access to car share for everyone. City Council could fix this on May 22nd, but only if they hear from you. Add your name today." And he gives the website again. Your thoughts?
You know, I actually sort of thought, this is where my ignorance comes in, because I'm not looking for car share because I don't have a driver's license. But I know there's like car share downtown, so I would have simply assumed that there were all over the city. So if his point is correct, and again, he's Kevin, I trust him, he's a good guy. Yeah, I'm supportive of the idea of car share as a fairly solid alternative to owning a car. Like, it's very low impact. It's kind of, you have it available for when you need it, not necessarily like you're paying maybe a lot of insurance, a lot of maintenance fees on a car, maybe that you don't use very often. I'm not suggesting, of course, that that's the norm. A lot of people are daily drivers, but if you're not, it's a great option.
And since you love to rag on the police,
I do.
there's a tweet by a person named Paul McIntyre, who's a police officer, and he writes, three homicides, three separate firearm discharges, one seized gun, five robberies that included a carjacking, or home invasion, and two stabbings, all in the past 24 plus hours. All responded to by Toronto police. These stats don't include robberies, assaults, and then it cuts off. So and that tweet was quote tweeted in response to by a guy named Ross McLean. And he writes, hashtag Chowtown. You voted for this, Toronto. I told you this was coming.
Oh.
Chow is anti-police. Her plans for city fail on crime. That's why I backed Anthony Fury on his crime policies. It will continue to deteriorate under Chow. Your thoughts on that one?
Well, oh, you know what? No, I'm not gonna find it. I was scrolling through my video game Twitter. I was like, because I think this might be the tweet that I very specifically responded to myself. So if you'll give me a moment of scrolling, and if it is what I think it is, I'm pretty sure you liked my response to it.
Probably.
See, I'll find it. Where is our? Oh, there we go. Yeah, actually, it is exactly that tweet. So I responded to him, which was, how are we supposed to take anyone who claims Olivia? I give them the money. I don't direct the police. I refuse to criticize the police. Chow is anti-police seriously at this point. You think there's a policing issue in the city? We've done nothing but give them everything they've demanded for years.
In fact, the last person that told them even a partial no, I believe it was Rob Ford. When
I
he
believe it was
went
Rob
in,
Ford.
when he came in and he said every department is going to cut their budget by 10%.
Isn't it weird that the only person who I feel was honest about that is Rob Ford?
I don't paint Rob Ford with the same brush that I paint Doug Ford with.
Oh, you know what? That's actually fair. That's a good point.
And I think people, there are probably a subsection of the population that does paint them with the same brush.
I just think of the people who very vocally talk about looking for efficiencies in the budget, for the most part, almost exclusively are not including the police when they talk about that. And again, the fact that we had Brian Lilly of the Toronto Sun writing that article about how Olivia Chow was defunding the police by 12.7 million, despite the fact that that wasn't a defund, that was just 12.7 million that the police wanted on top of what Olivia Chow was willing to give them. And again, Anthony Fury shared that. So he said to us as well that the police weren't exactly necessarily untouchable, but I think by his commentary there, he is suggesting that we shouldn't criticize or do anything about the police.
Perhaps. Okay, so real quickly, I want to set it up for the main event. We're going to be talking about the decriminalization of hard drugs for Toronto. Let's talk about the BC portion first. I'm going to let you take the lead on that because you're well versed in fuck every province's political stuff. Go ahead, go ahead. You set the table.
I mean, I think I am a poor person, I think, to set the table here because despite having a fairly heavy media focus, particularly from the post media section, you know, like the National Post and them, about this idea that the drug situation is out of control in BC. Here's the thing. I'm not in BC. I couldn't tell you how true the narrative is of how out of control it is, but I do get the sense, I feel like this is a media conversation
Okay,
about.
let's break it down. Let's break it
Okay.
down.
All right, cool. Yeah.
Let's start with the ideology of what they're trying to do.
Okay.
Because I believe the ideology was, well, if we decriminalize all this shit, there's going to be less overdoses, less death. People is the belief that the people won't want it that much if it's decriminalized because the, I don't know, the cheap thrill is gone.
I think the thought is more along the lines of if they're not afraid that they'll be arrested simply for possessing it, they're less likely to do it in an unsafe environment, like by themselves, where they'll overdose and have nobody around them to help them, revive them, etc. And they just die. And people, the shame kills them. And I understand a lot of the opposition, you know, a lot of people pushing it is. You know, the idea is that they should feel shame, that they should feel ashamed of doing these drugs. But I think the issue is it's not giving them the allowance to do these drugs. It's almost like a parent giving permission to do so. It's not the case. Like, that's not what happening. It's a case of these people are already doing these drugs. Let's find a way for them to be able to do it safer.
Stupid question, but I'm gonna ask it. Why not just try to get shut it down?
What do you
Because
like, shut down the drugs?
the problem is the drugs. It's not so bad that the drugs are already gonna be addictive, okay? Now these, I don't know what to call them, motherfuckers. Let's go with motherfuckers, are cutting this stuff with shit that's even more dangerous. Fentanyl and
Yep.
God knows what else. Fucking angel dust or fucking anthrax or fucking whatever. So that's the problem. So now they're still gonna do the drugs, but because the drugs are so fucked up, they could kill you because they're cut in with all this shit. It's better to do it around other people because you have no shame. There's no
It's
shame
more.
involved.
Now, I think in this case, I'm more referring to when I'm talking about doing it with other people, I don't necessarily mean doing it in public. You know, you're sitting on a school bench because you're hoping the mother with their child playing on the playground is gonna watch over you in case you do have, you know, overdose, and you know, they're gonna be there with the, what is it, the null not. Naxine? Naloxone?
Nalox.
We're both doing
You're a
this. This is
security
bad.
guard. You should know this.
I really should. I see the image. I see the name. It's like NAX, NOX, and I'm like, I can't remember. This is bad. Guys, everyone, go to Shoppers Drug Mart, get your free kit, learn how to use it, please. It's just good public safety. But again, it's not about, I don't know, I guess it is this. It is partially.
So, okay, so this, I won't call them woke, but this very left-leaning NDP BC provincial government thought it was a good idea to say, let's just decriminalize this shit. Let's do it. Let's do a 3-year pilot program. Let's ask for the exemption from the federal government. And Mr. Trudeau, well, he, I guess as long as it didn't involve any work, you know, he had to answer the phone. So that was work right there. I mean, you know. So it went through. It went through. And what are we, 1 year later? Has it been 1 year yet, Philip? It's been 1 year.
I actually have no idea when it started.
No, I think it's been 1 year. Let me see if I can get a date. The province is what it all it says in this article, because I have the article. Yes, it's the Sun. And I have a nice little article from Lily later, but you know, your
Damn
boy.
It.
But down here it says the province is 1 year into a 3 year pilot project to decriminalize possession of small amounts of certain illegal drugs, including heroin, fentanyl, cocaine, and methamphetamine. I don't understand how fentanyl is. Anyway.
You know what? Actually, that's a good point because, well, and I think this more speaks to my ignorance. I don't know what this is all I know about fentanyl, or at least all I understand about it based on what people are talking about. It sounds like people put fentanyl into drugs to kill you. Now, that can't possibly be what fentanyl is. It has to be something else, right?
Is it like an
opioid?
It's in the opioid family. I will say that.
It's a very strong opioid.
You have no idea. Like, this isn't even about politics right now. I've told you this story. I'm not going to get into it, but I'm going to briefly brush by it. But do you know how offensive it is to me personally that they did this in BC? They want to do it in Toronto. I told this story a little while ago. Do I have to remind? No one gives a shit about me. I understand that, but do I have to remind people that I had a brother die in Seton House while he was smoking his crack that, unbeknownst to him, was cut with fentanyl? Do you know how offensive this shit is to me? So 1 year into this 3 year pilot project, what's his name? David Ebby?
Yeah.
They're throwing their hands up and going, no, 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 fuck it. We made a mistake. Trudeau, can you fucking reverse the shit? They still have, I don't think they haven't decided yet, right?
No, not yet, no.
And that's where we are right now. We're going to go ahead and we're going to take our break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about the Toronto portion. So we'll see you guys on the other side.
I feel like it sounds like it's just a higher version of 8. Listen, I'll look into it and we'll talk about it when we come back. I won't. I'll just look into it.
We'll see you guys on the other side. And we're back. And just to continue talking about Toronto's decriminalization of hard drugs, I have a statement here from the Medical Officer of Health, Eileen Davila. And she writes, as Toronto's Medical Officer of Health, I want to address the recent developments in British Columbia regarding their proposed modification to the federal exemption for the simple possession of small amounts of drugs for personal use. The aim, as I understand it, is to equip law enforcement with additional measures to address public drug use. There has been criticisms of Toronto's decriminalization efforts, suggesting we focus on treatment rather than decriminalization. That's funny. Where it said, well, it's not funny, but she says it right here. The aim, as I understand it, is to equip law enforcement with additional measures to address public drug use. What additional measures? Because you're actually handcuffing them. That they're not going to be able to arrest these people that are carrying drugs on them for whatever reason. So isn't that's already a, what do you call it? You're contradicting yourself. Am I wrong?
I mean, I think it's, I think I've got just kind of like a bigger blanket thought about this whole, about the whole conversation, which is ultimately, in fact, and I'm kind of glad in that statement she referenced it, which was treatment. I think a lot of people who view people who are kind of proponents of safe supply and, you know, safe supply, harm reduction in that way, they view them as being opposed to treatment, which isn't the case.
I disagree.
You think that they are opposed to treatment?
Treatment suggests trying to get them off the drugs. Safe
Right.
supply and what do you call them? Fuck, I can't think
Like
of it right.
safe injection sites.
Thank you. I was going to call them safe houses for some reason. That's saying, okay, here you go. You can continue doing your drugs. That's
So
not treatment.
here's well, so here's the thing. And I'm not saying ultimately, I'm not saying that is treatment. Giving them more drugs doesn't treat drug addiction. But you can't, my understanding and my belief is that you can't force sobriety on someone. You can give them the option of treatment. You can tell them they can do it, but if you force them, which is, my understanding is essentially the plan in Alberta and Saskatchewan, which is you force them into treatment, that I don't believe that meaningfully fixes them. I think that puts them in a position to very easily, once they get out of that program, relapse, turn back to these drugs, and then have a higher risk of getting something toxic. So the intention with giving these people the safe supply is to make sure that these people don't die until they're in a space to be able to get treatment. They have staff on site at these safe injection sites that can divert people to treatment. They're not oppositional forces.
Let me ask you a question. If
Yes.
somebody gets drunk and gets behind the wheel of a car and whatever goes to court for it, nobody gets hurt, but they go to court for nine and a half times out of 10, what's one of their conditions?
Is that not to drink?
Keep going.
Is it not to drive?
They have to attend
AA?
legislated treatment.
And I don't think that works.
I disagree.
And that the whole point of the show.
Seen it work. Now, I'm not saying that it works 100% of the time and that's what they should be doing. That's not what I'm saying. Plenty of times where it doesn't work, but I've seen it work. I mean, I've seen it not work too, but I've seen it work. So it does work.
I mean, but that's saying, which isn't, again, oppositional to what I'm saying. Treatment works, but it's not necessarily. Who do you think is going to be more successful in a setting that pushes you to be sober? Who is going to be more successful? The person who chooses to want to change their life, or the person who is forced to do so? And it's not always that simple. It's not always that simple. But again, that's why the concept of safe supply is supposed to be that until they're willing to make that decision, they might as well get to stay alive.
I want to read this last part of her
Can I
article.
just say that that's my very hippie view on safe supply? Is that, do you think that's a fair assessment? That it's very kumbaya, if the world were perfect, that's sort of what it would be?
Peace, love, and drugs, right?
Hell yeah.
All
Hell yeah.
right. This last little blurb I want to read because she went on for a while. As Toronto's medical officer of health, my role is to bring forward and implement population health interventions that improve health and reduce harm for every Toronto resident, no matter the issue. Our goal is to cultivate a city where everyone can thrive. To achieve this, we must remain committed to partnering with community groups, government and agency stakeholders, blah, blah, blah. But I go back to our goal is to cultivate a city where everyone can thrive. How does this do that?
I mean, again, and I feel like this has to just be our difference of opinion, because again, I understand that for, I feel like the image is, it's if they're gonna do drugs, if we don't, maybe that's the kind of thought. If we don't force them into treatment, if we don't force them to get sober, perhaps they never will. And to enable them by continuing to give them the safe supply, they'll never move towards treatment. And as someone who I don't subscribe to that. But I feel like it's more that this can be a spirited kind of conversation. But I think it's just it's not. I truly believe that the best pathway to sobriety is a combination of the two, I want to call it the two ideological factors. And again, the concept of safe supply is simply that it keeps people who will continue to use the drugs alive. It's the reason prohibition,
I
it's
gotta
the
disagree
reason
with you again.
I know you disagree, but you know, it's the reason why prohibition on alcohol failed. You know, when they went to prohibition, people didn't stop drinking. They just went to dangerous avenues. You know, moonshine, illegal operations.
Rubbing alcohol.
Exactly. It's they will find the supply whether or not it's safe.
When I
They
worked
will.
for when I worked for Shoppers back in the day, some guy came in and stole mouthwash because he was an alcoholic.
I could tell you a story about an alcoholic who he was so far gone, like he was barely functioning, and his main drink was Listerine.
Here's the thing, though. This is why I disagree probably more than anything else we've ever talked about. If you've ever taken part in an intervention, if you've ever even seen one as an instructional video or fuck, even seen it on TV, never in the intervention do they say, well, we'll just bring you to a safe injection site so you'll be safe there. No, because that's enabling. An intervention is to get them. Yes, they have to choose it. That part you are right on. But they should choose it. Why? Because they want to, or they should choose it based on their if you put five things in front of them and you say, well, you can't do three of them, so they have two to choose from. They're gonna choose the one. You see what I'm saying? Like, you have to eliminate their choices in front of them to almost. And I probably get a lot of heat for this, and I apologize. You gotta force them to choose it. Yes, they have to choose it. You're absolutely right about that. But you have to Jedi mind trick them shit and make them choose it, force them to choose it. I firmly, wholeheartedly believe that, right or wrong, that's the way to go.
So I wonder
You can push
because
back.
I no. Well, I think we've both said our positions, and I respectfully disagree with you. We're friends, we're allowed to do that. But I think there's an element here, not where you're wrong. In fact, I think I'll agree with you, but I don't think it's in opposition to what I'm saying. You know, a lot of people who kind of are in the cycle of addiction, a big thing that can push them towards wanting to change and fix their life is their deteriorating relationship with their friends and family. I think that's a valid reason to push for someone to get recovery, as well as the person themselves. That, like, I think that also goes internally for them. It probably is something that they want at that point. Like, I think we do just land
So,
very differently here.
okay, so before we move on to the corruption part of this, because oh yeah, there's that. Okay, so it didn't work in BC. We can agree on that or not?
Here's the thing. The reason why I can't.
It's because you don't live there,
Oh.
right?
Well, you know what? Actually, we're not gonna listen. We're not gonna make a whole segment out of this. But if I wanted to do hyper local politics, I could talk about that corner in particular. We're moving soon, so I think I can kind of dox myself a little. St. Clair and Danforth Road. Someone had just turned. It's a terrible turn. So it doesn't surprise me that something just happened, but this is hyperlocal politics happening in real time.
What happened? Car crash? Oh well. I don't really mean that, but okay. So sorry, I think that interrupted your thought. So BC is
only
asking for them to cancel the pilot project. So, in your opinion, I mean, it's not working. And I think you were gonna, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I think you were going to say you can't judge that because you don't live there.
Well, n actually, no.
Oh,
It's
okay. I
not. It's not that
apologize.
I. It's not that I can't judge that because I don't live there. Although that's a part of it. Although, if I'm being honest, it'd be fun. But because, again, a lot of what's shaping our political sphere is kind of the loudest voices in the media ecosystem. I feel like that sounds very obnoxious, but. What I'm saying is the loudest voices are the things that we hear most frequently. So the people talking about the crisis in BC, the crisis in BC, they're going on and on. Drug deaths, toxic drug deaths are so high in Alberta and Saskatchewan. Per capita, they're higher in those provinces. Something is happening. Where safe supply is doing something. But the fact is, there is a problem in this country of people taking dangerous drugs and dying. But it's not as simple as, again, as I've said before, it's not about one better than the other. I think it's a combination of factors that'll get people healthy and clean. I don't think it's so simple.
So what I fail to understand is if it's not working in BC, which the premier who wanted it is saying, no, we don't want it anymore.
It is an admittance of failure, yes.
Why the hell are we doing it in Toronto? Moreover, okay, this is the corruption part of it. So let's go to the infancy of this bullshit. Now, I did some homework over the last few days because I wanted to get this right. So it didn't just pop up at this meeting, but the starting point of this is December 6th, 2021. It's on YouTube. It's a Toronto Board of Health Zoom meeting because at that point they were still doing them mostly by Zoom because of the pandemic. And it was a Toronto Board of Health meeting. So I believe the night mayor, Paul Ainslie, was there. Eileen Davila was there. Mike Layton was there. Gord Perks was there. I'm sure I'm missing someone. Anyway, it is from that meeting that the recommendation came to decriminalize hard drugs, blah, 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 for the reasons we just laid out. I've looked all over the internet. I spent hours trying to search the schedule for January 2022 for a city council meeting. There's nothing. There's nothing there. It doesn't exist. So I'm not saying this is what happened, but I am led to believe that this went straight from the Bo Toronto Board of Health. Gave the big old middle finger to the city council and skipped them and went straight to the federal government. And my question to you, Philip, I say all that to ask you, what the fuck are we doing? Since when does Toronto Board of Health supersede city council in making a request to the fucking federal government. If this medical officer of health wants to fucking run the city, she needs to resign her goddamn job and run for mayor. I didn't see her name on the docket in fucking June. I saw Olivia Chow there. I saw Rob Davis. I saw a bunch of other names. I didn't see hers because she's not going to leave her cushy job. She has no business making a direct request to the federal government. And if I'm wrong, I challenge her. I challenge any member of the city council, and I challenge the mayor to correct me with what I'm saying. She made a direct request to the federal government. Why didn't it go before city council? I'll shut up now.
Oh, listen. Again, despite our ideological difference on this subject, I think we would like to understand, you know, if we do happen to have city council councilor listeners, which would be very fun, and you could correct us if we're wrong, but if I would... I would agree with you that it's problematic if this isn't something that went through city council. City council, of course, who are beholden to their constituents because they were elected. You know, if this came from the Board of Health to the federal government, I would say more simply, I would say that's not fair, because that shouldn't be how our local government runs. The city council is elected by us to be beholden to constituents. So if, you know, if the city councilors, again, I ultimately agree with the decision to do so. But, you know, we have a democracy for a reason, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I'm just replying to this email. That's where I'm going to go next. As you know, because I included you on a bunch of them, I was so incensed, so upset, that I emailed every city councilor and the mayor, because I wanted to know what the fuck was going on and how this went. It bypassed city council, giving them the middle finger on the way up. So I will read the email that I wrote. It was the same email to every counselor, but I don't group them together because then, you know, I never know. They might think it's a chain letter or something. So
I usually do just, I'll write one email and then I'll CC it. But that's just my personal style.
I like to have that's not my style. No offense. Whatever works for you. But so I wrote, so whomever the counselor was, I would change the name, obviously.
Yeah.
And I wrote, we hope you are doing well. I spoke for you, Philip. I hope that's okay.
I'm offended. I do not wish well on any of these disgusting. No, I actually like a lot of them. I'm Josh Matlowin.
We hope you are doing well. We have read about Toronto's plan to decriminalize hard drugs, and we would like to know two things. One, when was this brought to council? Two, how did you vote? We are talking about this subject on our next show, and if there's anything else you'd like to say on the subject, what would it be? Thanks, Matthew and Philip. Now, I had thought of a third question once I realized, because at this point when I sent the email, I did not know that it bypassed council. I assumed,
Oh, you got confirmation.
No, I didn't yet.
Oh, sorry.
I know it bypassed. That's why I'm saying it. I believe it's been bypassed. No one has corrected me. I invite, again, I challenge anyone to correct me. Give me a date. Give me the date for the YouTube video. I'll watch it, and I will issue a public correction the next time Phil and I sit down to record an episode. I challenge anybody. But the third question I thought of after I did this email was, how does the Toronto Board of Health have the authority to send something directly to the federal government without it going through council? That would have been my third question, but I didn't ask that. So I got answers from, and I made a mistake. It wasn't, I'm not butchering Counselor Holiday, but I actually, it wasn't Holiday that gave me that detail. I got the name wrong. So I got a bunch of, holy shit. Okay, here we go. I got a bunch of automatic replies. They don't count. So from Counselor Sachs, I got a response. She writes, Matt, before I was elected, because I had asked, you know, what, and she said, we have huge problems in the city with open drug use, and I'm very concerned about anything that would make it worse. Thanks, Diane Sachs.
Oh. Interesting.
Would this make it worse? I believe it will, but I mean, we don't have to go there. We disagree on that. I just, some of these counselors, it like for that one, it was hard to, I guess, say where she's coming from.
Yeah. Like you wouldn't, sometimes when you ask a question, you haven't assumed like where they'll stand on an issue. I'd say with Diane Sachs, you couldn't quite know for sure.
So I did get a response from Counselor Holiday, but not the detailed one I told you about.
Right.
So he writes, hi, Matt. We know this has been in the news, but it has not been brought before council. It is with the Toronto Public Health Board. Boom. Let me see. This is from Counselor Bravo. Hi, dear Matthew and Philip. Thank you for reaching out to the office of Counselor Bravo. Toronto's initial submission to request an exemption under Section 56 sub 1 of the Controlled Drugs and Substances Act was submitted to Health Canada in January 2022. In March 2023, Toronto updated the submission, including the detailed Toronto model of decriminalizing drugs for personal use. Several items on the drug poisoning crisis, Toronto's overdose action plan, and the new Our Health, Our City, a mental health substance abuse harm reduction and treatment strategy for Toronto have been considered by the Board of Health over the past few years. All of the items except for 2023.HL8.1 were considered before Councillor Bravo was elected in 2022. On that 2023 HL8.1, Councillor Bravo voted in favor of the item in all motions that were put forward by directors of the Board of Health. Here's the thing. They're bringing the updating shit to council, but the initial request was not brought before council. Why?
Now, I do wonder if that's... No, sorry. Never mind. I was straight up going to say, essentially, how can we blame this on John Tory? but ignore me now.
They did put a list of decision history. So this goes as far back as 2017. However, it doesn't say anything about it being in front of council. I don't remember it being in front of council. And again, I invite anyone to show me council footage of saying, hey, let's decriminalize hard drugs. I mean, guy, this is a bad joke, but I have to make it. I'm sorry. If y'all were so gung-ho about decriminalizing hard drugs, y'all wouldn't have went after Rob Ford the way you did. Anyway, let's get to the Brian Lilly article because I know you're waiting for that. Huh. Oh, I didn't forget.
I did.
The headline reads, it's an opinion piece. We have to say that. The headline reads, come on, Eileen. Davila not telling the truth about drug decriminalization. Stop me when you want to curse him or say something, okay? Dr. Eileen Davila wants you to believe that if Toronto follows British Columbia's lead in decriminalizing all hard drugs, everything will be fine. In a video statement released Tuesday, Davila said if hard drugs are decriminalized, people won't be using drugs in public willy-nilly. I disagree. Quote, on open public drug use, let me be perfectly clear. Lighting up a crack pipe in a playground or injecting drugs on a subway, these are not acceptable and should not be allowed. Except under the proposal, okay, and that was end quote. And then he goes to say, except under the proposal the city put forward to the federal government, those activities would be allowed. The city was very clear in its proposal, dubbed the Toronto Model, that drug use would only be prohibited in three places. Philip, would you like to guess what those three places are?
Hospitals?
Childcare facilities?
Well, that's okay, it's obvious.
Kindergarten, all schools, kindergarten to grade 12. And airports, which literally means if you're having a bad day because you're on trial for murder and you are found guilty and you want to do a line before they take you away, you could do a line there right in front of the judge.
So what difference is that? Would that make it from the individual person to regular lawyers?
Right?
That was rude of me, right?
or perhaps you're in your car, you're in your Audi, and you're speeding, and you get pulled over by the cop, and the cop asks you to get out of the car, and you said, hold on a second, and you sniff and you do a hit. Wait. And then you get out of the car.
Okay, Matthew, listen. this one is a terrible example because you're already talking about an illegal activity. The police stopped them for speeding.
Right.
And then you're like, your additional issue here is like, hey, officer, hold on a second. And like, listen, they're already at a problem. At that point, I don't think they're like, oh, shit. Like, at that point, he's just doing that to, like, we also do have laws about driving sober.
Right,
know?
Okay, that was a bad example.
It doesn't take away from your point. It was just
I got
a very
one more
funny example.
I got okay. one more. Okay. You're at the altar and you're waiting for your bride to be to walk up, and the bride to be is almost there, and you're like, hold on a second, and you do a bump. Okay, let's do this shit.
Matthew.
Technically, you're saying the vows high. No?
Matthew, listen, I don't feel like I truly, again, I understand where you're coming from. I truly, truly do. And I believe you're very passionate about your perspective of believing in this. This is, Matthew, you don't think there are people who want weddings like exactly like that?
No, but that's what the reception's for. You have to be sober, otherwise it's not legal. Saying the words.
That clearly that's a matter of opinion.
Okay, so he goes on to say that means police would be powerless to stop someone sitting down at your local community playground and lighten up a crack pipe as children played all around. This is actually written in the fucking article. Officers would have no tools at their disposal to deal with someone who was injecting drugs on the subway. Hey, Phil, have you ever sat next to someone while they were injecting drugs? Because if this happens, that very well could happen to you.
But it's already happening.
Oh, it's happened to you. It's never happened to me.
No,
someone
no, no.
puked
it,
next
it, no,
to
no,
me.
No.
That's about it.
It hasn't happened to me. But the fact, I mean, people are talking about people are openly doing drugs on like the streetcar and the TTC. And this isn't, again, This isn't a condonement of that. It's just, it happens already.
I
And
just want to
that's
get
not as
this.
a. Go
I just want to
ahead.
get this next paragraph in because this is important. The proponents of this plan continually say drug addiction is a health issue and not a law enforcement issue, and people shouldn't be charged for small amounts of drugs for personal use. According to the city's own proposal for decriminalization, there were 617 people charged with simple possession in 2021. But in 581 of those instances, possession was not the only charge. It was an add-on to other charges, such as assault. That means just 36 people were charged with simple possession as the sole offense in 2021. This proves that activists like Davila are making false arguments about policing and charges. Take away the ability of police to deal with people who are causing public disorder through their open drug use in public spaces will lead to chaos. This is part of the reason BC Premier David Eby has asked the federal government to recriminalize hard drugs in most instances. Your thoughts? I'm done with this article.
I think it's hard for me to say in detail, I say why I feel this way, especially knowing who Brian Lilly is, how he presents his opinions. Again, I'm sorry, this is me shooting the messenger, so it's not really fair of me at this point. But this sounds like fear mongering. I feel like that's sort of
Or
my impression is that it's
is it a
fear mongering.
mixture of fear mongering and misinformation?
I believe so.
So what you're saying is that he's the Dave Meltzer of the political world.
Hey, Matthew.
I know what you're gonna say. Who's Dave Meltzer?
Thank you. Yeah, all right. Well, you know that I don't
He
know.
reports wrestling and he's reported bullshit for as long as he's. He has a newsletter called The Wrestling Observer. And if you look him up on Twitter, and if you'll see people have nothing but horrible things to say about him because he presents rumors as fact, as truth. And basically, I believe it's kind of what you're saying about Brian Lilly.
Well, again, this is the guy who presented Olivia Chow's police budget as a police defund, despite the fact that it was what she initially wanted to give them was still higher than the 2023 police budget.
That's correct.
It's not enough to reject everything that he says. Well, I mean, it is for me, but but I mean, normal people, it shouldn't be. But I do have a bit of a be cautious of the messenger approach, especially when it comes to Brian Lilly.
I think that's a great place to leave this here. I think this is a great episode. Phil and I want to take this opportunity to thank all of the listeners. We got a decent bump last episode, so I'm hoping that'll continue this episode.
I
Again,
can't believe we actually landed on like a solid disagreement.
yeah, put that in the record books.
Hell yeah.
If you guys want to write in and tell us how fucked up your municipal government is, we're all here for it, even if it's
That'd
here
be
in
so
Toronto.
fun.
Email us at themunicipalspod@yahoo.com. We'll read it right on the air. Hell, maybe we'll just do a show of just emails. That would be great. I would
Guys,
love
tell
that.
me about what's happening in Niagara Falls, please.
I would love that. And we're going to bring you those two bonus episodes. The first one by Giorgio Mammoliti, the second one by David Shaw, who's running for mayor of Mississauga. And until the next time we meet, which will be in a couple weeks because of Mother's Day. Happy early Mother's Day, by the way, for all the mothers out there.
Thanks, mamas.
Until next time, until next what is it? Same bat time, same bat channel. We will see you
Yeah.
guys next week or next time with new content. Thanks again.
And welcome to another jam-packed edition of The Municipals.
Rising taxes are probably a reality.
I'm a big advocate of change. Not change for change's sake. Change when something isn't working.
I'm sure the NDP wishes that they had a less embarrassing federal partner to work with right now.
Don't vote, can't bitch.
The moment we go to an election is the end of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.